When, well, I'm still a teacher, almost not a teacher anymore. I used to become very concerned about the girls, Muslim girls, and their behaviour, especially if their reputations were being spoiled by the behaviour of slapping on makeup or flirting with the boys and making themselves cheap, I think, because it really was making themselves cheap with the boys. I felt it was my duty to interfere and say stop. So they became very unpopular. I felt it was my duty. But not everybody, some opinions were that if Muslim girls want to become westernized, let them go ahead. I felt I had to stop that.
I think you are speaking my language and my heart. That is how we should do to others. We should realize where their safety is and the happiness of their future lies, and we should let them know. Even if your own concept of safety and the future happiness is different, this is the trust of a teacher. He must make the student realize that, look here, really you belong to a different pattern of culture, and you will find yourself more and more at odd with that cultural background if you permit yourself to go head on into the Western attractive features of culture or behavior. And you will create problems. This is how the problems are created, in fact. Children are drawn away from their values into such values which have already damaged the life of your own homes and have played a destructive role in the in keeping the family intact and to support the family unit as such. So the destructive role separates them, disintegrates the families. Individualism begins to play a greater role in the family relationship. The boys no longer bow in respect to the wishes of their parents, and the girls as well. See, what do you mean? You are saying of the past, you know, we know what's best for us. Now this lack of responsibility, I would call it, is destructive, wherever it is. So in the name of compromising one culture with another, if you promote Oriental children, whether they're Muslims or others, in shifting their platform, the problem they would face would be a twofold problem. First of all, they would lose their background and they would no longer be fit to be assimilated in their own society, where most often they'll have to spend their life. Secondly, they will not be accepted as equal partners by the West. They will remain dangling halfway between this and that. Whatever they do, they can dance themselves mad, even naked in the streets, but they will remain different from the European society, because you know, deep inside you know they are different people and we are different. Like, was it Lord Macaulay who said, the East is East and the West is West, and never the twain shall meet. So there seems to be a separating line which ultimately keeps them away from you. Look at the example of the immigrants from West Indies. They are Christians mostly. They are completely attuned to your culture in every behavior and things. Yet despite they're having done everything to be like you, to look like you, to behave like you, they're still separate. And when you see the television programs as to their complaints at the hands of the white policemen and this and that, although nothing is admitted in so many words, but you can read through the lines that there has to be something present which is working in marring the relationship between the two entities which remain as two entities. So all the best you can do is to advise these people as you have done. But look here, if you leave your own platform you will not be provided one in with by us. You remain hanging high and dry somewhere, and you will not be a part of anything anymore. So these are also the deeper concerns we have. That is why, although we in Ahmadiyya, we are very liberal with our children as compared to other Muslim societies, which go to the extent of beating them and cursing them and threatening them with death and things if they go astray according to their vision. We don't do that. We just advise them. And this is what is one of my daily duties. Some girls, when they begin to behave differently and the parents have no control over them, I tell them not to curse. Only send them to me and let's have a free dialogue. And you'll be surprised to see, except for one or two odd exceptions, see, all understood fully. And of their own free accord, they said, yes, we were wrong and we are returning back to the values of Ahmadiyya as it inculcates. When I say Ahmadiyya, I mean Islam as understood by Ahmadiyya, not Islam as understood by others. So
Do you urge the schools to be aware of these problems? Because it was just by chance that I took
off. That's right.
Are schools aware?
Not once, but sometimes some groups from different schools visit the London Mosque. And they raise similar problems. And we answer them, whether to their full satisfaction or not, that's a different issue. But I'm not always available anyway. But whenever I visit the different countries of the world, these problems are always brought out. And during my discussions with the intellectuals from different countries, hardly I can find any question or session where this problem was not presented to me. Mm-hmm. And the whole question or session is internationally televised, so that the entities all over know my attitude and stance to these problems, and during their discussions with the respective schools where the children are studying, they must, I'm sure, would be conveying the same to them, and so they are becoming more and more understanding. In the beginning, their attitude was very stiff, because particularly after the collapse of Berlin Wall, things are changing, which I had already, you know, the idea that they would move in this direction. Things are moving in a direction where the old extinct snobbishness of European races would rehabilitate itself, and if not obviously and evidently, gradually and slowly, it will take its root once again, because it has not been exterminated. The seeds are still there. So, a very important struggle should be launched of free dialogue and education on such issues, whereby, with the changes in the politics of the world, we don't fall apart from each other. We move towards better understanding and closer understanding and largeness of heart to live with another point of view, in harmony and peace. This is what is needed very much, and it is here that the school teachers can play a vital role. Once an inspector of schools, who controlled the Bedford area schools, came to meet me to have interview for me on some issues. This was not one of them anyway. But he was appointed by the government to present the viewpoint of different religions to the children in a manner that they understand without prejudices what a religion or a sect in a religion stands for. So it was with that end in mind that he chose me out of the four representatives of Islam. I don't know why he did it, because we are a small minority. And it was my interview which he played up so pronouncedly that he returned again to me to prepare a video. And he said, I'm going to show it to all the teachers training institutions, that they should know that this also is a view of Islam, and the genuine true Islam lies here, not in the extremists' concept of Islam, etc. So this free dialogue must be promoted, I agree with you, and the religious teachings in every school and institution should also be brought into the focus of attention. Fortunately, once Kenneth Clark, who was then the Minister of Education, accepted my invitation to dine with me. And there, this was the main purpose why I wanted to meet him. Because in those days, the issue of religious teachings in the schools and otherwise secular institutions was discussed with some heat. So I wanted to meet him, and so that he may not make a faux pas from which it would be impossible to withdraw later on. And he was a very understanding person, as you realize. Even if he elected as a Prime Minister instead of Mr. Major, I shouldn't have any, any heartburns at that. I think he's a gentleman, a capable person who listens to the opposite's view and considers with a detached attitude, not a prejudiced attitude. It was our first meeting, and also I found him to be a typical Englishman, a conservative band, you know. Not like Paddy Ashdown, for instance, you know. He would come down to his ordinary level of different people and pose as if he belonged everywhere. But he retained his, you know, his avatar attitude, but he was responsive, definitely. So in the end, he agreed with everything. The sum total of my advice was that the government should not promote religious teachings in any institution which belongs to the doctrinal issue of religious differences. If you highlight the religious teaching on the aspect of doctrines, then you are in for a big trouble. It will go on bifurcating and splitting and shattering the peace of the society. But if you insist on only the moral aspect of religious teachings and promote this attitude and invite all religious leaders, whether they're Hindus or Sikhs or Buddhists or Muslims, there will be no danger to your society. Because the moral teachings is, with the grace of a God, is a unifying universal factor of all religions. No religion will teach you to steal. No religion will teach you to lie, to play hypocrite and so on. I said, bring them together, let them join their forces and educate your young boys and girls unitedly to create a better effect, so that your future society is safe from the present trends of becoming more and more criminal and less responsible. So I had the impression that in the end he agreed wholeheartedly. At least he did not take the measure which was about to be taken by the government of permitting Christian, Hindu, Muslim educations in the daily curriculums. But as far as the moral aspect is concerned, I didn't find it practiced later on in any way, implemented later on in any way. But this is essential.